such a great job leading us in worship and helping us to think about the Lord. One quick thing I wanted to make sure everybody knew about was that Stan Hankins will be with us this coming Sunday to lead us in preaching and share his gifts and a few stories and whatnot with us, so look forward to that. He'll be here, and keep an eye on the bulletin and emails. Stan loves to be here and loves to do things, so I know that he's going to get together with the men of the church a week from today for dinner. He'll be getting together, but who knows what Stan might come up with, right? So keep an eye on your emails. We're in Ruth again this morning, chapter 2, and we're in the middle of a sermon series called Hello, Stranger. Now, we might say, hello, stranger, to one another, but what we really mean is friend. You know, we know each other, we haven't seen each other in a while, and we'll say, hello, stranger. Well, for Ruth and Boaz and Naomi and some of these characters you've been hearing about, Ruth really is a stranger. She really is somebody else to them, somebody new. And what we're going to talk about this morning kind of picks up in the middle of chapter 2. It says at mealtime, that's how we'll read verse 14, and that's how verse 14 begins, at mealtime. But what Ruth's been doing is coming back from Moab, settling down in Bethlehem with her mother-in-law. They've been through all kinds of tragedy as a family. They get back to Bethlehem right as the barley harvest is beginning, and Naomi says to Ruth, you know, this is the time for barley harvest. Here's how this works. And Ruth says, well, let me go out in the fields and start harvesting. And that's what she's doing. And verse 14 picks up in the middle of one of those days, right at lunchtime. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So Ruth sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, let her glean, even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I worked today is Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, this man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Let's pray for a moment. Father, your word has always encouraged us. Always helped us. There are times when it's been hard to understand. There's been times when we were just waiting on it to make sense to us. But at the end of the day, you are a God who speaks. You are a God who loves us and who cares for us. And we pray that you would do it again this morning. Care for us. Speak to us. Teach us. Encourage us. Whatever it may be, Lord, we are ready to learn from you. We've spoken to you about how great you are. We've sang your praises. We have lifted your name on high. And as a result, our hearts are open to you. You are the Lord who is on high. You are the Lord who loves us and cares for us. And we are your people, ready to be loved and cared for. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever known someone who was just incredible? I mean, just incredible. The sort of person that you were just like, just maybe you don't like to kiss people, but you just, part of you wants to just be like, I could just kiss you. You're so amazing. You just think like, you're just a godsend. You know, you know that person? You met people like that once in a while? You're just like, you're a godsend. You're a godsend. Boaz is one of those people for Ruth. He's just a godsend. A lot of times in my sermons, the main point comes up when it comes up in Scripture, but I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag right now. God has raised up a redeemer. Boaz is a godsend, and my main point is just that God has raised up a redeemer, and it's Boaz. For Ruth and for Naomi, they've got this Redeemer. You'll remember that when they got to the barley harvest, when they got back to Bethlehem, Naomi and Ruth are talking about how this whole thing works, and Ruth doesn't know anything because she's from Moab and she's living in Bethlehem now. But Naomi says, well, you know, you can work out in the fields. And so Ruth says, well, let me go out in the fields. Maybe I'll find somebody to have favor on me. Maybe somebody will have mercy or compassion on us, and this thing will work out. We'll get some food. We'll get our needs met. This today's scripture, is the beginning of redemption for Ruth and Naomi. It's the beginning of what they hoped for. And don't worry, I'm going to explain what I mean by Redeemer. For us, the word redeem is sort of different. We would redeem a coupon at the grocery store. If you make plans to go up to Maggie Valley and do something fun, or you're out at, you know, some vacation spot or something, and you get this ticket to go somewhere for one day and you're looking forward to it, and then it rains, they'll give you a voucher and they'll say, well, it rained today, so you can't enjoy this, but come back later, here's a voucher and you can redeem it. And we think in those terms about redemption, but really what God has in mind is so much more than that. It's very specific. And when I say redemption, I don't mean that everything has been bad so far. Everything's gone pretty good. They showed up at the beginning of barley harvest. That was good. They found a field with a bunch of food in it. That was good. They found a man who owns the field, and he gave Ruth a bunch of food. That's good. This man said nice things to Ruth. That's good. He said, stay with my maids, my young women in the field. You'll be safe. That's good. That's nice. But everything starts to change in verse 14. It doesn't seem like a huge change, but take a closer look. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and Boaz served her roasted grain, and Ruth ate and was satisfied and had some left. Boaz is serving Ruth food. Now, I know some of you say, that is so obvious. Like, what are you getting at? I mean, really? Yeah, duh. Like, I read it. Boaz is serving her food. What's the point? But it's amazing because Boaz is a Jewish, unmarried man who owns a barley field and a wheat field. And he's got all these workers in his field. He's got so many workers, he needs supervisors to be over the workers to make sure that they're doing all what they need to and everything's going according to plan. Boaz is a rich man. He's a successful man. And yet, he's got this woman from Moab that he hardly knows, except that she showed up and she treats her mother-in-law really well. And Boaz says, come here, come inside, eat lunch with us. I'm going to give you food. And this is a big deal because the scriptures don't say that Boaz served his supervisors food. The scriptures don't say that he served his employees food. The scriptures don't say that he served the other maids food. As near as we can tell, he only served Ruth roasted grain. This is a huge change. This is a huge surprise. This rich man is serving the poor, and he's serving a woman from Moabite at that. This is the beginning of redemption for Ruth. Remember that she's on her way from being an outsider. Even this chapter still says Ruth the Moabitess. I mean, she's been in the field for a long time, but when people talked about her, they still said Ruth the Moabitess. She's on her way from being an outsider to an insider. And two Jews, Naomi, her mother-in-law, and Boaz, have been very helpful in bringing her along and explaining things to her and showing her compassion. They've served her. They've loved her more than they loved themselves. Ruth discovers there's a place on earth, there's a chapter in her life starting to happen when things actually go right. For so long, things have gone so terribly for her, so painful for her, so much of a failure for her. But that seems like it's ending. This is the beginning of redemption for Ruth. Boaz is no ordinary man. That's my second point. This is no ordinary man. Boaz is really doing something spectacular. He invites her into community. Verse 14, he says, come here. Verse 14, again, he serves her roasted grain. And Boaz, what he's doing, what the word literally means when it says served her roasted grain, just so you know, it says he held out to her roasted grain. And I'm not trying to be too boring about language. I just want you to realize he put food on a plate he walked over to her and he gave it to her. And he said, here's some roasted grain right in front of everybody. He really was doing this action. He didn't say, hey, supervisor, come here, bring that woman some food. Or, hey, employee, take that roasted grain over there and give it to that woman. He did it himself. He did it himself. You got to understand, the landowner has become the waiter. The man who owns the field has become the server. He's bringing her food. He owns the farm and he's bringing her the food. And this is humble, which is amazing in and of itself, but it's a major change from what the law requires. The law said he's got to let her glean in his field out on the corners, out in a specified area. She goes out there and she's allowed to get some barley out there. But he's going way above the law. He's saying, come inside to the building where all my staff are eating and here's some food just for you. Here's your lunch. He doesn't worry about being the owner and he doesn't worry about what the law says. He goes way beyond it. And he protects her by commanding his servants in verse 15. He says to them, don't insult her. He provides for her by commanding his servants, let her harvest, even in the sheaves. In other words, even in the good stuff, the place where the law would have said she can't go, she's allowed to get out in the corners of the field, but she can't come in here. That's for the employees. That's for the workers. They come in and harvest this stuff. And Boaz is saying, let her go anywhere she wants and harvest whatever she wants. And I'll tell you another thing, Boaz says to them. You, when you're harvesting with your sickle or your machete and you're cutting it down, pull some of it out of your load and lay it on the ground and give it to her so that she can come pick that up too. So he's increasing their workload so that she can have more. He's putting more on them to bless this woman. So this is a big, big, big change. Now, if you're a man in this church, I'm not trying to lean on you. I know it might feel like a little bit of that for you. I know this is just what scriptures say, and that's what I want to do, is just teach the scriptures. There are more men in this church who cook than any church I've ever been in. So, which is a great thing. I give you men credit for doing that, whether it's the cooking or whatever else you do. It's not even close. It's not even close. Boaz is no ordinary man with how he treats Ruth. He's no ordinary man. In fact, to be honest with you, I'm not sure I could get away with this, but I feel like I should have named my sons Boaz number one and Boaz number two. That way when the prom rolled around, I could say, Boaz number one, come here. We're going to have a conversation about what a man does. Tonight at the prom, what I want you to do is serve her. Boaz number two in a few years, come here, Boaz number two. So I think it's probably too late in my case, but something you might want to think about for some of you. Ruth was invited into a community of women like her. It was all within the shelter of Boaz's provision and his property. He created this space for Ruth, and he said, come in under the shelter, come in under this area where I'm protecting you. Stay with my maids, the Bible quotes him as saying. This isn't just an act of compassion, it's a pattern of it. He says, stay with my maids all through the barley harvest, stay with my maids all through the wheat harvest. Stay with us. Stay here. My servants are going to take care of you. You can harvest all the food that I've got. You can do it any way you need to. And this is how Ruth moves deeper into community. She feels people. She feels herself being around people that she's like. She's around people that she's like, and she gets to develop a community and be part of that community. Boaz changes her status by providing her with some people like her to be around. He acts with compassion, but he also provides community. Now, I want you to be honest for a minute. How many of you sat at the cool table in high school or are currently sitting at the cool table in high school? We can be honest. Nobody wants to be honest this morning, all right? Maybe you didn't get to sit at the cool table, or maybe all of you sat at the cool table. I don't know. I was fortunate enough in high school. I kind of had a little bit of both, if you know what I mean. So like, I went through a phase where I felt like I was at the cool table with some friends, but also went through some phases when I felt like I wasn't. Yeah, a little bit of both. Well, what's happening for Ruth is she's at the cool table now. If there's this little shed or shack or shelter out there in the middle of the barley field, Boaz says, come here. Come in here. She's at the cool table now. The hip Bethlehemites are all eating lunch together, and she's brought in there, and she can sit at their table with the cool farm workers. She gets to be out there with them, and she gets to experience real community. Now, right here is something you can do. It's something you can imply. Invite people into your circle. And it doesn't have to be the cool table. Even if you'd say, well, I'm not in the cool circle, or I'm not Boaz, I don't own a big field, and I don't have lots of stuff going on and all that. I'm not saying be like Boaz, literally. Don't go serve somebody roasted grain. They're not going to come back. Like, they don't want a plate of roasted grain. I don't even know where you'd get it, but they don't want it. So don't bother. But serve them. Invite them into the circle. Cool, uncool, whatever. None of us can go move to Bethlehem and serve roasted grain and all that anyway, but we can invite people into our circle. We can give them some community. And you can see it because obviously Ruth had to be sitting off by herself. She had to be sitting outside somewhere. For Boaz to look at her and say, come here, had to mean that she wasn't there. Another translation, yours might say, draw near. Well, you can't draw near to everybody having lunch if you're already near them. So Boaz crosses that barrier, whatever that distance was, and he crosses it and says, come over here, draw near, come on in here, eat with us, hang out with us. It's one of the easiest ways to get to know people, eat together. And this is all about how Ruth comes from being an outsider to an insider. And this is what God does for humble people. Listen to Luke chapter 14. This is Jesus, and he tells a parable to a group of people. Jesus began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table. And Jesus says to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. For someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this man, and in disgrace, you will proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now look how Naomi responds to Boaz's invitation to Ruth. When Boaz says, stay with the young maids, in verse 22, Naomi says, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field. And look how Ruth responds. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. So she lived with her mother-in-law, but she stayed close to these maids. I told you before, and I'll say it again, these are two smart cookies. They don't need a whole lot of education to get the point. Naomi says, it's not real safe for you, Ruth, to go to another field. This guy's one of our closest relatives, and we're going to dive into that in just a minute and explain what is all this relatives business. But Ruth is just getting the point. She's like, I'm just going to stay with these maids. There's food. There's shelter. They're smart cookies. They're just going to stay where it's safe. They're going to stay where it's good. They were looking for favor. It means mercy or compassion. Looking for somebody to take care of them, and they found it. And Boaz is no ordinary man. And as Scripture points out, he's also no ordinary relative. That's my second point, my third point. This is no ordinary relative. I want to read the verses to you, and then we'll dive into this relative's business. Verses 19 and 20 say, her mother-in-law then said to her, where did you glean today, and where did you work? Because she's wandering around on the countryside, so Naomi has no real idea. May he who took notice of you be blessed. Translation, she comes home with a truckload full of food. This is amazing. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I worked today is Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Now it's time to explain what all this is about with closest relatives, but before I do, I just want to let you know that if you find yourself in a spot of wanting to help an outsider or a stranger become more a part of the community that you experience or vice versa, one of the things that's at the heart of this passage is that if you want to have love in your relationships, serve other people. You see what Boaz is doing here? He's serving people. He's serving Ruth especially, but he's serving Naomi. There's service here, and it creates love within the community. It creates tight bonds within the community. If you're young and you're thinking about getting married, be willing to serve. It's easy to think about marriage because most of us have read Ruth before and we're always kind of thinking about the end a little bit. And you're watching Ruth and Boaz get closer and closer together, and we think about a man giving a woman all these blessings and serving a roasted grain. And the Scriptures are going to get there. We will get there. But for now, I just want to remind you that Ruth and Boaz are willing to go slow. Ruth's not in a hurry. Boaz is not in a hurry. They're taking their time, partially because they got to get their needs met, and they're just focused on somebody who would have some mercy on them, but also partially because I think they're trusting the Lord. So as you think about how to have loving relationships, whether you're young and wanting to get married or in a marriage or in other family situations where you hope for more love, be willing to serve and be willing to take it slow. The Lord works these things out. Boaz and Ruth aren't rushing into anything here. Now about this close relative business, let's dive into that. Most of you probably don't have Leviticus chapter 25 banging around inside your brain all day when you're at work or when you're sitting at home with your family or watching something on Netflix or whatever it might be. You're not thinking about Leviticus 25 rolling around in there. But for people like Boaz, for people like Naomi, Leviticus 25 was really familiar to them. And what Leviticus 25 said in a nutshell is this: if a Jewish family got in a lot of financial trouble and they had to sell all of their land to stay out of debt or to try to reduce their debt as much as possible, and they're really poor, God raised up what's called a kinsman redeemer for that family. It's somebody in that family who could, at some point in the future, buy that land so that it would stay in the family. Now, when we think about our relatives, we think about words like closest relative, we tend to think about the way we feel in our heart. If I ever got in trouble, I could call my Uncle Jeffrey and I know he'd help me out. If I ever got in trouble, I know I could call my daddy and my mom and they'd help me out. You know, we think that way. And I'm not saying that's not true, but this is a special category of people. This kinsman redeemer, this closest relative that Naomi's talking about, is a special biblical category of family roles. It's a person. Because the land was so important. You got to understand the Jews. Now, we're attached to, when we own a piece of land and it's been in our family for generations, we're attached to it. And that's right. But for the Jews, they would have said, God gave us this land. God wanted us to have it. He gave us the victories and battles so that we could have it. God decided which tribe in Israel got this land over here, and this tribe in Israel got that land over here, and this tribe in Israel got the land up there. And God decided all of that. And this is God's land for us. So selling it, losing it, having to get rid of it, was extremely painful. It added to the pain and the loss of the debt and the poverty that they were all dealing with. And God cared about the land, so He raised up a kinsman redeemer for each family, saying, if you ever get in a really bad spot, this is the kinsman redeemer. And it's His job to buy back the land. If He can't do it right away, then he still has an obligation before the Lord to, at some point, whenever he's able, try to buy back this land and restore the family's financial situation. Now remember what I said about Boaz himself. He was feeding Ruth. He was feeding Ruth because he knew, I'm this closest relative. I have this obligation before God to be a kinsman redeemer. Boaz is one of them. So he can redeem Naomi's land. He can redeem the family's situation and give it back to them. And if he does this, if he makes this sacrifice, then he's putting himself at risk. He's spending his own money. He's making a real sacrifice. It's his own responsibility. He would take on her debts so that she could have what God intended for her. Boaz was no ordinary man, but he was nothing compared to Jesus. Boaz, you remember, gave a plate of food to Ruth. He held it out to her and he said, here, have some roasted grain. But Jesus gave himself for us. In John chapter 6, Jesus says these words, having a group conversation with a group of Jews. They're talking about how God feeds people. And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. The Jews around Jesus at this time, they're talking about a time in Israel's history when God made bread fall from heaven to feed the people because they were so hungry. And they had no farms and they had no way to meet their needs. And Jesus goes on and he says, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And then the Jews said to Jesus, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And later, on the night before Jesus was crucified, he looked at his disciples. He was in an upper room of a house, and he held up a loaf of bread to them, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." The God who put bread on Ruth's plate has sent you a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God raised up a Redeemer. And when I say that, you can think about Boaz, because he has been raised up in this special role for Jewish families. God has raised up a Redeemer, but God has raised up a Redeemer in the person of Jesus Christ. And Boaz is no comparison to Jesus Christ. As amazing as Boaz is, he just points us forward to Jesus. He's like a fuzzy picture that they could see Boaz in this role of a Redeemer. They'd get kind of a fuzzy picture of the real redemption that God offers. The real redemption that someday the Son of God was going to come, the Messiah was going to come, and there would be redemption for all of God's people. God has raised up a Redeemer. And in his day, in the way of their time, Boaz was a Redeemer. He could redeem Naomi and Ruth and the whole family from a life of poverty and despair and brokenness. But what Boaz could do for them is nothing compared to what Jesus can do for you. Paul, after he discovered Jesus Christ, he went around starting churches, and he started one of them in a city called Colossae. And he wrote the people at Colossae a letter. He wanted to explain more about Jesus. He'd been telling them in person, but he later wrote them a letter. And he said, "Let me tell you a little more about Jesus." He writes this to them: "For God rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself." That's the idea of redemption right there. "Having made peace," Scripture says, "through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." Paul tells his church at Colossae, you've been rescued from the domain of darkness. You've been transferred, you've been moved, you've been relocated spiritually to the kingdom of His beloved Son. And you've got redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the one who makes Himself vulnerable. He came as a little baby, born to poor parents in Bethlehem. Same place where Ruth and Naomi are living right now. Same place where they're eating roasted grain right now. And that's important. We're going to come back to that in a few weeks. But Jesus sacrifices what He has, everything in heaven and earth. I know all that stuff Paul said in Colossians was a lot to take in. But Jesus sacrifices all of that, being the Creator, being the one who holds all things together. Everything made in the world, Jesus is holding it together. Everything in heaven and earth, He owns it, and He's holding it together. And He made Himself poor for your sakes. He sacrificed what He had so that we could have what we can't. He gave something when He was the only one who really had it to those of us who had nothing to offer. He sacrifices His life, dying on a cross, so you can be redeemed. This is why the hymn says, "I had a debt I could not pay. He paid the debt He did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay." Paul was talking to another church one time in 2 Corinthians, and he says to them, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." A Jesus that knew no sin, knew no suffering, had no needs and no problems, took on all the problems of the world so that we could know the righteousness of God, so that we could know the blessings of God. I want to take a moment in prayer as we close, and I just encourage you to reflect on who Jesus is. Reflect on this bread of life. Reflect on this blessing. God has raised up a Redeemer, and His name is Jesus. And Boaz does a wonderful thing for Ruth and Naomi, and we're going to dive into his kinsman Redeemer status more as we consider redemption. But think this morning already about what Jesus has done and who Jesus is. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Lord, we are thankful. We are blessed. We can call You Lord. We can recognize that Boaz is a godsend, a totally amazing man, fulfilling an unbelievably necessary role. He is having favor on Ruth and Naomi. But we have an even more privileged position, because we're not looking at Boaz thinking about some future Messiah or hoping someday for redemption or hoping maybe someday somebody has favor on us. You have already come, Jesus, and we celebrate that and we praise You for that, and our hearts are encouraged. The deepest needs of our life have been met. The deepest desires of our life have been met. And it's in You, Jesus Christ, that these things are met. Thank You for coming. Help each one of us to realize what it means for You to be our Redeemer. There's parts of our life that we still need to be redeemed from. It may be that we've never asked You to redeem us from anything. It may be that there's some really, really challenging stuff in our past or in our present, and we need You to do what You do, which is to stop the domain of darkness from influencing our life and to allow us to respond and live like children who are in the kingdom of the beloved Son. If we've believed in You, we're there, but we still have much to learn, and there's still unfinished business in our hearts and in our minds. Please continue Your work of redemption. We spiritually are not that different than Ruth and Naomi were economically. We need to benefit from the sacrifices and the suffering that You went through. We need help from You, and we admit our own vulnerability, and we recognize that Your vulnerability and Your suffering and Your ultimate death on the cross meets our every need, and we praise You for that, and we give You glory and honor and power, and we thank You, Father, and we thank You, Spirit, for working now and working in the past so that Jesus Christ could come and could be the Son of God and the Son of Man who comes to seek and to save everything which is lost. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.